Have each of you again here tonight as we're going to go into the Psalms. We didn't really finish the Psalms. I just planned on going back and covering Psalms 119 in and of itself. I encourage you to bring your Bibles to the study. Of course, bring your notebook. And that's the difference between reading and studying, I believe, is reading you just read. And studying is you have a pencil and paper. That's when you're studying, and then you're meditating. You're thinking about what the text says, and you're writing things down. And that's what you need to do in a Bible study, and that's what we're going to do on Wednesday night as we look through Psalms 119. Now, we're going to give this a title, one title for the whole thing, and then we're going to give each section titles as we go through it. The Wonder of the Word is the title for Psalms 119. The Wonder of the Word. In one form or the other, out of the 160 or 176 verses that it's in it, the Bible is referred to in one way or the other in nearly every verse. I think the Believer's Bible Commentary said there was four verses that never referred to the Bible. Brother Wearsby said there was three verses in it that didn't refer to the Bible, but you can see over 170 verses in the text refers to God's Word in some fashion. So that's the thrust of it. That's what it's showing you, the benefits and the blessings that the Word of God brings. And I just feel good about doing this text because, as I've said, I'm really alarmed here in 2008, almost 2009, at how much churches are pushing the Word of God out of their services. And it doesn't have the preeminence. It doesn't have the first place in their church. And I'm telling you tonight that the Scriptures is what the Holy Spirit uses to bring salvation to the sinner and growth to the believer and encouragement to the believer. So I think what 1 Thessalonians 5, when it speaks of quenching the Spirit, I think that's how it's done, is you push out the Word of God, and then what churches begins to do is they start entertaining to bring in people. Well, I'm telling you tonight, the Word of God needs to be draw enough. Do you agree? You need to be, and as you get the Word of God, then it calls you to grow. So the Wonder of the Word is the title of Psalms 119. Nearly every verse refers in some fashion to the Word. Every verse does refer to God, though, and there's some type of mention of God, thy, you, or something. In every verse, there is a reference in somehow to God. Now, the writer of it is unknown. We don't know. Most think it was David because he wrote Psalms 19, and Psalms 19 uses some of the terminology that's used in Psalms 119. Like it describes God's Word in Psalms 19. So a lot of people, we know David wrote Psalms 19, so because of that, because they're a little bit similar. But you know what? There's no use spending any time at that. It doesn't tell us who wrote it. But that's the most popular view, is that David wrote it. It's the longest chapter in the Word of God. And, of course, if it's the longest chapter in the Word of God, it's also the longest psalm, is it not? So it is the longest one. It's an alphabet psalm, meaning that if you'll look at the Scriptures, you'll notice right under Psalms 19, there's the word Aleph. I don't know if that's how you say that or not, but you see A-L-E-P-H. That's the first letter, the name of the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And then you'll look down at verse 9, you see the word Beth. That's the second letter, and it goes all the way through the Hebrew alphabet. 22 letters are mentioned here in Psalms 119. It's also an acrostic psalm. When you look at the first 8 verses under the first Hebrew letter, Aleph, or Aleph, or however you say it, when you see that, every verse in that section starts with that letter. When you go to the second, where it has Beth, verse 9 through 16 in the Hebrew, every verse starts with that letter. So it's an acrostic. And it's an alphabet psalm. You say, now why are they having it as an alphabet? For memory. for memory. I no doubt they would probably teach their children the Hebrew alphabet by teaching them the what? Scriptures. You know, in our country, we used to use the scriptures to teach school kids with. Really? They would use the scriptures in schools to teach children how to read and teach children different English and different things. Isn't that something, how far we've drifted? Now we don't want no trace of him in the school system. Isn't that sad? But they would use it to teach. They would use it for memory. And they could think their way through the alphabet, and then they could remember those eight verses in that section. So that's the reason why it was done that way. Now, there's different words used for the scriptures. Let me give them to you. And you can see them in verses 1 through 9. But I'll go ahead and tell you. Well, let's go ahead and read that. I'm not in no hurry. Let's go ahead and read that. And I want you to show it's different. It just doesn't say the word. It uses different words to describe the word. Are you ready? Look at verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law. That's one word that's used for the scriptures in Psalms 119 is the word law. Blessed are they that keep his what? Testimonies. The word testimony, that's another word for the word of God, his testimonies. Verse 3, that they walk in his ways. The word ways is a reference to the word of God. Verse 4, precepts. Verse 5, statutes. Verse 6, commandments. Verse 7, judgments. And then verse 9, the word. I believe that's a total of 8. There's 8 different words, but each one of them is a reference to what? It's a reference to God's word. When you're talking about his testimonies, his statutes, his words, we're talking about God's word. So all the different names, but it's talking about basically the same thing. It's talking about the Word of God, okay? Now, let me go ahead and look at this first section, and let's give it a title. Verses 1 through 8, The Way of Happiness. That's what we're going to title that, The Way of Happiness. Wouldn't that have been a popular message, you know, if we could have published in the paper, come to Elizabeth Baptist Church and hear the Way of Happiness. And verses 1 through 8 shows you the way of happiness. Now, let's look at verses 1 and 2. And you see the word blessed. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, they that seek him with their whole heart. What's the word blessed mean? Happy. And you know the idea of the Hebrew means extremely happy. One writer suggested that it means happy, happy. I put double emphasis on it. And that's exactly the idea of it. It's a tremendous amount of happiness and joy. And folks, that's what people are looking for, is it not? They're looking for the way of happiness and the way of joy. And what you'll find is that the world is searching for that. Do you agree? They're looking for the way of happiness and the way of joy. And what the devil does is he presents a lot of different counterfeit ways of happiness. Do you agree? He presents a lot of ways to folks as being a way of happiness and joy, but when you come to the end of those ways, they're nothing but counterfeits. They're not the true way of happiness and joy. Let me mention some of them to you. Number one, prosperity. I mean, most Americans think that if they have plenty of money and a nice home and a new car and are set for life, that is the way of joy. The greatest hope of a lot of people in West Virginia is to, is to hit that old filthy lottery. That's the greatest hope. And they think that that would cure all of their ailments and that would just make them have a lifetime of joy, prosperity. Pleasures. How many people you know that live for pleasures and sinful pleasures and vice? I remember working at jobs before, and a lot of the boys, men on the job, couldn't wait for Friday. They lived their whole life for Friday so that they could take their paycheck and go out and party with it and get drunk and all these different things. You ever seen that? Need to get them through to the next. Never ceases to amaze me to watch some of these shows lifestyles of the rich and famous, and they'll show them, they'll show how they work hard to get this great big goal in life, and they get popular, and they get money, and they get position, and they get possessions, and then they try to kill themselves. You ever see it? And you think, what in the world's a matter with these people? Well, they haven't got what is. They've bought into this counterfeit joy. Into this. They don't give you hope beyond the grave. They don't give you hope beyond the grave. People that live their life for prosperity, position, power, etc., and they attend a funeral service, it doesn't give them no hope beyond that. And isn't that a sad thing? True joy is what gives you hope not only here, but in the world and life to come. That's where true joy is at. And true contentment is found only in those type things. So who is the happy person? Let's look at verses 1 and 2 and let's describe them for you. Just 2 points. Don't let that fool you. There's a lot of little points under those 2 big points. But let's look at the first one. Who is the happy person? It's not those that buy into Satan's counterfeits. Who is the happy person? It says, blessed are those, are the undefiled. Do everybody see the word undefiled in the way? The undefiled in the way. And the way is your course of life and manner of life. They're undefiled in their life. Now, I don't know about you. When I read that, I thought, undefiled? I'm not undefiled. Well, I looked that word undefiled up because I really wanted to know what it meant, you know, in other texts. You realize that words, English words, or different English words are sometimes used to translate one Hebrew word. And I looked at the different ways that this word is used. 14 times it's translated perfect. So it might say, blessed are the perfect in the way. But the most common way that this Hebrew word is interpreted, 44 times it's interpreted, or translated, I should say. I should have said translated. 44 times it's translated without blemish. It was translated in Exodus 12. Remember, the Passover lamb had to be a lamb without spot and without blemish. So this text is saying, blessed are the undefiled, or those that are without blemish. Well, that describes people that are saved. That describes people who are saved. Now, I was defiled by sin, wasn't you? Before I was saved, I was defiled by sin. I was born a sinner. I had broke God's law, so then there was a curse over me. I was a sinner by nature, and I was a sinner by choice, and I was a sinner by practice, all three. And I was defiled by sin. And if I died in that condition, then folks, I'd have spent an eternity in hell. But what happened? What happened? Well, the Lord interceded in my life, and I realized He opened my understanding. He seen to it that I heard the precious gospel message, and I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And what did He do with my sin? He made me without blemish. You know, I stand before God in my standing. The way I stand before Him in being justified, I stand before Him as if I've never sinned. Think about it. What does that mean? I'm without blemish. Now think about that. I am without blemish. So are you. That is in your position of being in Christ. What did He do with your sin? He washed it away. Now, let me go turn you back to Psalms 32. I'll try to keep you here nearby. But turn to Psalms 32. It uses the word blessed here again. And notice what it links it to. Look at verse 1 and verse 2 of Psalms 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Now, does that sound familiar to you? That's quoted in Romans 4 by Paul. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Now, look at verse 2. Blessed is the man or woman whom the Lord will not impute sin. Everybody see that? He doesn't impute sin to us. Well, the word impute means to charge to your account. So he doesn't charge sin to your account. That means he charged all your sin to Christ's account. Jesus paid for it. Just like we looked a few weeks ago in the book of Philemon. And it said, the Apostle Paul said, if he owes you anything, put that to my account. That's what Jesus did. He took all the debt, all the sin, all the judgment, all the penalty, all the curse that we owed because we were defiled by sin, and he had every bit of that charged to him on Calvary's cross. And when you receive Christ as your Savior, what he does is he completely washes you clean, and you stand before a righteous God as if you'd never sinned. Undefiled, justified, declared righteous based on what Jesus did. And folks, that's the only way you can have that kind of standing before God is through Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? So we are the undefiled in the way. So it says, happy are the undefiled, those that are without blemish. So what people is that speaking of? Well, it's speaking of the saved. And when I read that in Psalms 32, that word blessed is the same word translated that we translated happy in Psalms 119. The Scripture describes the happy person as being the one who has been set free, saved, forgiven from their sin. That's who the happy person is supposed to be. Now, why are we? Why is God's people to be happy? Well, because we're saved. Because we have hope beyond the grave. Because we have eternal life. And that salvation we have, look at the benefits that comes with it. And look at the blessings that comes with it. And look at the promises that comes with it. Isn't it wonderful? So that's where true joy is found. And that salvation well, we can draw joy out of that every day of our life. Book of Isaiah. Let's go ahead and turn to Isaiah chapter 12. Show you this real fast. Isaiah chapter 12. We need to be happy, don't we? If we're saved. Why isn't God's people happy? Well, there's different reasons why. The unhappy bug catches all of us at times, don't you agree? Because we live in an old body of flesh. But we can draw strength from our salvation. I mean, I know we're saved, but as we reflect on the salvation that the Lord has given us, just like drawing fresh joy out of a well, we can do that every day of our life if we'd focus on it. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. So we can draw from that. We can draw from that. We get down in our life and we get in rough situations. Where can we find joy? Where can we find joy when we get in hard situations? We find it in our God. We find it in that we're saved. Man, a lot of things, as we've many times said, a lot of things in this life changes, doesn't it? But there is one thing that we have that never changes. You know what that is? It's true today. I'm going to tell you. It's true today that my sins are forgiven. It's true today that I'm a child of the King. It's true today that I have a home in heaven. It's true today that I'm saved from hell. And listen to this. And 1,000 years from now, that same thing will still be true. It won't ever change. So we can draw from that. We can focus on that. And it gives us joy. The reason why many times that we don't have joy is we don't focus on those things and we focus on other things. And it pulls us down. But then we look at the salvation that we have and the benefits that's with it and the blessings that's with it and our future that we have with the Lord, and it gives you joy. So who is the happy person? Who does it say in the text? Who is that? Blessed are the undefiled in the way. Let's turn to Psalms 144. Show you another verse. Psalms 144. Are you still with me? Hope you are. Psalms 144. Let's look at verse 15. Look at this right here now. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, what else does it say? Happy is the people whose God is Jehovah. It says. Happy is the people whose God is Jehovah. Why does it describe God's people as a happy people? Why? Because they got a future. Because they're God's children. Because when they have trials, they got someone to go to that will give them grace. Because they got victory over death. Do you want me to go on? Because we could go on and on for the reasons. And we need to draw that just like we go to a well and draw joy from the wells of salvation. And it gives us strength and gives us joy. Psalms 145, 46. Let me show you one more. Verse 5 says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. So it describes God's people, those that are without blemish, as being happy people. And we should be, and we will be if we draw and focus our attention on that. Psalms 103, let me give you one more. Psalms 103. Notice what it says in verse 1. Bless the Lord, means to praise him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me. Bless his holy name. Verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his what? Benefits. Man, you can't never forget your benefits. Is there a lot of great benefits that goes with being saved? Is the greatest benefit package ever given to God's people? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, there's where we fail and falter at, because we don't focus on those benefits. We focus on other things. I'm sad because I need tires on my vehicle. I've been sad all day. I don't. I'm just using the illustration. I need tires on my vehicle. And this is broke down at the house. Well, those things are, you can focus on those type things, but when you do, you forget your benefits. Your benefits that goes with being saved. There's no more benefited people on this planet than those that's been saved by God's grace. Well, let's look at a few of those benefits real fast. Look at verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forgetting all his benefits. Notice verse 3. Who forgives all thine iniquities. He makes you undefiled, as if you've never sinned. He heals all your diseases. Whenever you get healed, he's the one that does it. But he's also purchased for us in salvation a disease-free body coming. You don't have that yet. Boy, wish we did, don't you? But that's a coming. That's already been bought and paid for, but you don't have it yet. And you say, well, I hear people all the time says that you can claim that, but you're aging too. I'm the only one here that don't age. I'm just kidding you. We're all aging. I wouldn't have these glasses. I know what you're surprised. He got glasses on. That shows he's aging. We're all aging. But you see, the new body that we're going to get is not going to age. And it's not going to get sick. It's not going to have no sin nature in it, Brother Coy. Isn't that going to be awesome? Well, that's coming. And that's a benefit. That's a benefit that's coming out here for us, but that's on its way. I love to think about that benefit, don't you? Verse 4, look at that. Who redeemed my life, thy life, he redeemed you from destruction. Man, if it wasn't for the Lord, I would spend an eternity in hell. I'm redeemed. I'm set free from that curse of that law. He redeemed my life. He crowneth me with loving kindness and tender mercies. And we can go on and on. So you see what I'm doing? You see what the psalm, happy is the person. Who is the happy person? The one that's undefiled in the way. The one that's been saved. The one that stands before God without blemish in salvation. And we need to draw from that. We don't focus on salvation. We don't focus on its benefits, its blessings, and its greatness. And I'm telling you, every day of our life we need to. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. What's that old song we sing in Bible school 1,000 years ago? Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation. So rich and free. All right, let's move back to the Psalms so we can wrap this up this evening. Who is the happy person? Number one, those that are undefiled in the way. Those that stand before God unblemished, without blemish. And the only way that can happen for you is to be saved and to trust Jesus Christ, because He loved us, Revelations 1:5 says, and He washed us from our sin with His own blood. Now, if He washed you clean, how do you stand before God? Without blemish. Okay? Now, but it doesn't stop there. Let's go ahead and turn back to Psalms 119. And let's go ahead and look at verse 2. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies. What's His testimonies? His word, His commandments. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect to all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with the uprightness of heart. When shall I have learned Thy righteous judgments? I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. You'll notice in the text, the second path of joy. The path of joy is the joy of salvation, being saved. But after you're saved, folks, and I'll tell you, this is where, oh, it just aggravates me, Hollis. It aggravates me to death. It's where some Baptist churches currently are absolutely missing it. After you're saved, there is a walk with the Lord. There is a walk with Him. Whenever you receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, there's a new birth that takes place. And He puts in you a spiritual thirst. And you have a desire to want to follow and obey the Lord. You want to keep His commandments. You want to obey His precepts. Do you agree? Jesus told His disciples, if you love me, live in sin. Is that what He said? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Is that not what He said? And I want to. Do you want to? I do too. I want to obey Him. And when I sin against Him, it kills me. Oh, it breaks my heart. It makes me ashamed, doesn't it, you? Well, that's true of everybody that's saved, everybody that's had a new birth. And this is the way of continued joy, is by walking in obedience with Him, obeying His word, keeping His statutes. Now, let me show you why this is a key to joy. Let's turn to 1 John, and let me give you this. Look at 1 John. I want you to look at chapter 1. And in 1 John chapter 1, it tells you one of the purposes of 1 John. It says, verse 4, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Would you like to have a full joy? These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now, if you want to have a full joy, do you know what you have to have after that you're saved? Not only must you focus on your salvation and draw, you know, strength from the different benefits and things you have, but you know how to maintain a full joy? It's to be in fellowship with God, to be close to the Lord. And you know how you stay close to the Lord? It's by obeying Him, keeping His statutes, keeping His commands. It keeps you in fellowship. If you want to have joy and you want to be close to the Lord, you have to obey Him. Look back here at 1 John chapter 1. Let me show you what it says. Verse 3. Let's see. Let's go ahead and look down. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, what's it say? We lie. You can't have fellowship with God and live in sin at the same time. So if you're going to have fellowship with God, then what's the path you have to walk? You got to walk in His law. You got to walk in His truth. You got to walk in His word. It's a path of obedience. And it's something that you want to do. You're not doing it to get saved. You're doing it because you are saved. because you're His ambassador, because you represent Him, because you love Him. If you get somebody and they trust Christ and they continue for a while and then they drift into sin, you know the first thing they'll lose? They'll lose all their joy. You know why they lose their joy, don't you? Does anybody know? Because they don't. That fellowship's not there. They're not being obedient to the Lord. They're not walking in. You can't have fellowship with Him and not walk in obedience with Him. It's a combination of both of those. So not only are you saved, after you're saved, then there is a walk with the Lord. And if you're going to maintain fellowship with the Lord, you got to obey His word. You got to obey Him. Do what He asks you to do. Follow what He says in His word. Keep His statutes, testimonies, commandments. And let me ask you something tonight. Don't you want to anyhow? Don't you want to? Don't you have a desire to do that? He put that in you today that He saved you. So that's the pathway of joy. There was a young man that met with one of our men in our church. And this young man went here probably, I'm going to make sure that you don't ever guess who it might be, about 10 years ago. And he met with he came across the man in the church, let's put it that way. And you know what he said? He said, you know, the happiest time in my life. And he's not that old. The happiest time in my life when I was sitting in that church up there. That's what he said. It's sad. Well, his life ain't over. He can still come back and sit in the same place. Still the same old preacher here even. Still the same one here. Still a lot of the same people. But he acknowledged he departed from the path, but his joy, he acknowledged, was found when he was walking with the Lord. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? If you're here tonight and you're saved, and you drift away from the Lord, and you get out of obedience to Him, you know the first thing you'll lose, don't you? What will you lose? You lose all your joy. You'll become miserable. And I'm telling you, nothing. If you're truly born again, if you're truly born again, nothing will make you happy. I give you a new house, a new job, money, clothes, whatever. It won't fill that void there. Once you know Christ, there's a void there that has to always be filled, and that's fellowship with your God. All God's people say it. That's why this says in Psalms 119, in verses 1 through 8, the blessed person is the one that's undefiled in his way. You get that way by trusting Christ. And then what do? They walk in His way. They walk in fellowship with the Lord. I'm going to tell you what the old devil is going to try to do. He does everything that he can to try to cause you to veer off the path. He does everything he can to do that. Because if he can do that, then you'll lose your joy. You'll lose your fellowship. Remember what King David said in Psalms 51, I read it Sunday morning, Lord, restore to me what? The joy of my salvation. I was witnessing to a fellow, well, I don't know if I was witnessing. Yeah, I guess I was witnessing to him. I don't think I did it in a good way. If I could go back, I'd do it differently. But anyhow, I was talking to him. I'm almost done. But I was talking to him, and he was big on money. Money, 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 money. That's what drove him. And he had made a profession of faith in the Lord. And for a long time, he studied his Bible and he served the Lord and things. But man, money, money, money. And he said, if I get this job here, I'll be happy. And then if I get this amount of money per hour, I'll be happy. Well, he got all those things. You think he's happy? Miserable. Why was he miserable? You want to know? Because in pursuit of those things, guess what he left? And when he done that, he lost his fellowship. And I remember telling him, man, I was listening to him quarrel one time. I said, man, I shouldn't have done it the way I did. But I said, I'll tell you what, you were a whole lot happier when you made $7 an hour. Whole lot. Because when you made $7 an hour, you were serving the Lord. And you was walking in fellowship with Him. And you cared about the things of God. Now, I looked at the difference. You make a lot more money now, but you're miserable. Nothing. Once you truly know Christ, listen to me. Once you truly know Christ, nothing will satisfy you unless you're in fellowship with Him. And you can get out of fellowship with Him and you can try anything that you want. I can guarantee you, it will not make you happy unless you're close to your God. That's what this text is all about in Psalms 118. Who is the happy person? Not only the person that's trusted Christ, but it's a person that also, after he trusts Christ, walks in fellowship with the Lord. Combination of both of those. That's why it uses blessing in the first verse and blessing in the second verse. Okay. Well, that's the first.